Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're coming to you live from the Business Design Centre in London for the Minds and Money Resourcing Tomorrow conference. So here we are. We're joined by Marion Moroney, Non-Executive Director, and John Sherman, Chairman of Conroy Gold and Natural Resources. Marion is a recognized and accomplished leader in the exploration and mining industry with over 30 years' experience in exploration, mining, strategic planning, governance, identifying new business opportunities, joint venture management, and oversight and mergers and acquisitions. A hell of an introduction there, Marion. So welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously here we are with Conroy Gold. Just talk us through what sort of first piqued your interest with Conroy.
Yeah, I first met the management team at PDAC about 6 or so years ago when they asked me to swing by the booth and have a look at the project. I kept in contact each year with the team during PDAC most of the time. And then last year I left the company I'd been with for many years. And then at the beginning of this year, on my way to PDAC, Maureen reached out and asked if I'd like to come and look at the project on the way. So I stopped in Ireland, went up to the site, met the geological team and the rest of the management team, and importantly, had a look at the rocks and the mineralization style. And really what I observed was quite striking similarities in terms of the geology, so the host rocks, the age of the rocks, the type of rocks, and also the style of mineralization that we see in southeastern Australia. I grew up mostly in southeastern Australia and I studied at Melbourne University, and so I understand these types of ore bodies pretty well. I also worked on them 20 plus years ago when looking for opportunities. And so I really, really liked what I saw, but what I particularly liked was that it wasn't just a single isolated deposit, it's actually a proper district. And it's an emerging district that's been, what I call, it's been prospected. It's had surface sampling and a few holes drilled into a bunch of the anomalies, the surface anomalies. At the most advanced project, Clontibret, there's clearly multiple styles of mineralization and overprinting mineralization. So that indicates you've had multiple pulses of ore-forming fluids coming through. And that's quite attractive if you're looking for economic ore deposits. And so we can see what Clontibret is at the moment. It's a 500,000 ounce, 2 gram ore body. But when you look at what the deposits in Victoria have grown to be, you know, these are 5 and 10 million ounce type deposits. So I think there's a huge growth opportunity on the project once we understand more fully the controls to mineralization.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks for those words. I mean, we've obviously visited the core sheds in the past, in Ireland. And one thing is, I saw the announcement there was a new presentation, the Discs of Gold project, where it looks like the company is now refocusing on looking at the assays and basically reanalyzing the historical assays. But how instrumental were you in sort of advising the company and saying, yes, we need to look at these and we need to focus on these particular assays?
Yep, I think I was pretty instrumental. So, you know, geology always comes first. If you don't have that right geology and the foundations correct, it doesn't matter what you build on top of that. When we looked at the Clontibret project, you can see that it's, you know, quote unquote, open in all directions. But what we don't know is which direction should we be going. And the only way we can establish that is by re-logging the holes and updating the data sets with modern techniques and modern tools in a more uniform way and a consistent way, so then we can actually build a coherent geology model to then go from, as I said, prospecting to actually highlighting, here is the control, here is where the high grades go, I can clearly show you this, and here is the next drill target.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we've walked down those muddy fields in Clontibret down into the lake. I mean, the interesting thing with what's happening in China as well is the antinomy as well. What have you any thoughts on that in terms of how it will affect the gold? You know, does the antinomy come because of the gold or vice versa?
Yep, great question. So let me just take one step back. So in southeastern Australia, we have Fosterville, which starts at shallow levels being gold, antimony, arsenopyrite, and then transitions to gold antimony, and then ultimately really, really, really high-grade gold at depth. And by high-grade, I'm talking 2 ounces per tonne. So really company makers. In addition to Fosterville, there's also a deposit called Costerfield, just to the east, which is an antimony mine that has some gold. So you have the what I'd call the spectrum of gold antimony, antimony gold, and parts in between. At Clontibret, we definitely see that there's veins, thin veins, that have antimony and gold. But there's also a broad structure, 100 metre wide, that grades consistently a gram, that is not necessarily associated with the antimony. We also see in the parallel trend to the east, the Skull Martin trend, a free gold where we've got intersecting vein sets. So there is definitely multiple styles of mineralization. Mm. The antimony was not included in the previous economic studies and really hasn't been looked at since the old antimony mine of, you know.
Well, when we were splashing in that stream, they were talking about the Canadians that come over to look at the antimony and then thought about the gold as well.
Yep. So as part of upgrading the model, the geology, one of the areas we'll obviously be focused on is the antimony. Because is this an antimony gold mine or a gold antimony mine, or is it both? And we just don't know. So, and the final aspect is that the antimony hasn't been included in the project economics, the previous studies, which will be superseded with this new work. And, you know, I'm optimistic and confident they'll improve. But bringing in that antimony will definitely improve the economics.
Yeah. And do you see from this multiple pulse situation, do you see that Clontibret and Clay Lake is a whole system, as in they could be connected, or is it just likely to be two?
No, I'm almost positive they're connected. So at Clontibret, I said we have the 100 metre wide structure that has a stockwork zone consistently grading a gram per tonne gold. When we go to Clay Lake to the north, we also see 100 plus metre wide structure that's grading 0.6 to a gram. So that main structure definitely continues. Between those two prospects, which are, you know, 8 kilometres or so apart, there's very, very, very little drilling.
Yes.
And so this is this concept of actually putting the geology together to then help target. Those structures are actually part of those structures that extend further southwest across the Atlantic and then into eastern Canada. It's that same structural corridor. So they're significant deep tapping structures.
Okay, very interesting. So you've been enjoying yourself basically making pictures of what is about. I'm glad somebody understands it anyway. But I mean, Clontibret, the land that is owned by Conroy Gold, how big and how deep, if it was a Fosterville, would that go?
Well, Fosterville, the really, really, really high grades, those 2 ounces per tonne, started 800 metres below surface. Mm. The majority of the Clontibret drilling is, you know, give or take 150 metres on average. So there's a lot of space to look at between 150 and plus 800 metres. The thing with, say, Fosterville is you don't just go and drill directly underneath where the previous drilling has been done and where the old open pits were. You have to follow those high-grade controls, and they're actually extending away from the old open pits. So that's why it's super important we understand what those controls are to the higher grades, so then we can target them, because they won't necessarily just be vertically down.
Yeah, you need to know where the pulses have come from, and obviously in terms of the stream. Okay, very good. We must talk to you in more detail, because obviously we've only got a few minutes here. Another time, because it's fascinating. John, what would you like to add? Don't give us any geological stuff, by the way, after that.
No, I mean, having met Marianne on board has been, you know, super helpful, charged up the team. And I think they enjoy having, you know, someone of her geological smarts to bounce ideas off of and help guide the work. So it's really put us in a position where we can focus our effort more and prioritize bringing in the mine at Clontibret. You know, we have the land package, but now we need to get the ounces out. And her, you know, her contribution means, you know, when we do our next drilling, it's targeted and with purpose, and ultimately to upgrade the resource and add ounces to
it. We should maybe get Mariam to write down what she thinks it's going to be before it comes up, because that might be a bad idea. But I love your enthusiasm, Mariam. It's fantastic. So it's infectious.
Slipped down to William Hill.
Yeah. Yeah, don't slip down to any mill. Just go and buy some Conroy shares.
Very good. Well, John Sherman and Marion Moroney, thanks very much for your time.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.